case number 5, 21-463. Counsel, can you identify yourself for the record again, as well as your witness?
Yes, good morning, everyone. My name is Kate Ayers. I'm a staff attorney for the Connecticut State Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. I'm here today representing the issuing authority, who's the commissioner of our department. Also with me is Naugatuck Police Officer Elvis Vasquez. His last name is spelled V as in Victor, A-S-Q-U-E-Z. Thank you.
Vasquez is here today.
Yes, sir.
All right. You may make an opening statement if you'd like.
Thank you. Board members, we're here today because this appellant's pistol permit was revoked based on suitability grounds. We intend to show that this appellant is currently facing both felony and misdemeanor disqualifier charges of assault third and threatening first, and he is due back in court in June 2023. Thank you.
Okay, sir, you may make an opening statement if you'd like.
Good morning. So that is correct. I pretty much got involved trying to help a family member, which I learned my lesson from. I'm no longer doing that. Prior to this, I had my pistol permit almost 10 years. I got it when I was 21 years old. I've never, ever been in trouble with the law prior to this altercation. You know, all I do is work. I did what the court wanted. I did anger management. I've been on probation. It's almost coming to an end. I'm born and raised in Bridgeport, still live in Bridgeport. You know, I had a lot of friends that are now dead in jail or drug addicts, and I've always been a leader. I never took that path. I have an amazing job, and that's about it.
Thank you, sir. Counsel, you may proceed with your case.
Thank you. Officer Vasquez, would you please state your full name for our record one more time, and please spell your last name one more time?
My name is Officer Elvis Vasquez. Last name is V-A-S-Q-U-E-Z.
Thank you. And what's the town that you're currently employed by?
I'm currently employed by Naugatuck, the borough of Naugatuck, Connecticut.
What's your job title currently?
I'm a patrol officer. I'm on day shift right now, luckily.
That is lucky. How long in total have you worked in law enforcement?
3 years and 6 months now.
Could you please just give us a brief description of some of your current duties as a patrol officer?
Just basic patrol, responding to calls of service.
Were you working as a Naugatuck police officer on December 25th, 2020?
Yes.
Did you have contact with the appellant who's seated to my right on that morning?
Yes.
How was it that you came into contact with him?
Myself and 5 other officers were called to a fight that was going on in progress at a residence involving a firearm.
Did you receive any additional information from dispatch before you arrived at the residence that morning?
That the suspects were fleeing the residence in a Honda.
What happened when you first arrived at that residence?
When I was on the street of the residence, a Honda was driving past me, and dispatch informed me that was the Honda that the suspects were in.
What did you do next?
My lights and sirens were already on, so I did a U-turn and I conducted a motor vehicle stop.
How did you go about conducting that motor vehicle stop?
Due to the circumstances and a firearm being involved, myself and 2 other officers conducted a felony stop of the vehicle.
What does that look like, basically, when you conduct a felony stop?
All of the occupants are taken out one at a time through commands. Another officer was given commands one at a time with their hands behind their head, walking backwards towards us.
So you had to order out each occupant of the car one at a time?
Yes.
And have each one walk backwards towards you?
Yes.
It sounds like kind of an intense procedure. Did it feel stressful at the time, do you recall?
Yes, it was my first high stress call like that, especially involving a firearm. In Naugatuck, we don't get many of those. Yeah.
Do you remember approximately what time it was when you had to conduct that stop?
It was about like 4:30 in the morning.
Do you recall if it was dark out at that time?
Yes, it was dark, and it was, wasn't a well-lit street, but so yeah, it was good.
It was December 25th, so it was Christmas morning?
Christmas morning, yes it was.
And you said that this residence was in a neighborhood?
Yes.
So where was the appellant in the car when you conducted this stop?
He was the driver.
Okay. And when you got around to ordering the appellant to exit the car, did he indeed exit the car at that time?
Yes, he did.
And did he follow your commands as you were giving them?
Yes.
Okay. Did anything about the appellant's physical appearance stick out to you when you first saw him?
Yes, as he was walking back with his hands up, I can see the handle of a handgun on his right hip.
What did you do when you noticed that what appeared to be the handle of a firearm?
We just instructed him to continue following our, you know, direction. When he got close enough to detain him, I secured the firearm. I gave it to another officer and detained the appellant.
Okay. Do you recall whether that handgun that was on the appellant's right hip was loaded or not?
Yes, it was loaded with one in the chamber.
What happened after that, after the firearm was removed from his hip and made safe?
The appellant told me that he had another firearm in his front pocket.
Okay. Do you recall if that firearm in the front pocket was also loaded?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
With one in the chamber as well.
Okay, that one also had one in the chamber. So once all three occupants were out of the vehicle, what did you and the other officers on the scene do next?
We detained all of them. We separated them, and we cleared the vehicle.
Did you end up speaking with this appellant at that time?
Yes, I did.
What was your understanding from the appellant of what had gone on earlier that night?
He said he came from Bridgeport to Naugatuck to help his cousin recover a vehicle that she left at a residence.
Okay. Did the appellant seem to know the other two occupants of the car?
Yes, he was with his girlfriend and another male friend.
What do you recall the appellant saying happened once he arrived at this residence with his cousin and the other two occupants?
He said his cousin got into a fight, and when they got to the residence, about 10 people came out of the residence, and a big fight just broke out.
Okay, a big physical fight?
Yes.
Okay. Did the appellant say to you whether he got involved in that physical fight?
He said he was trying to break it up.
Did the appellant report whether he took out any of his firearms at any time during that fight?
He said he did not.
Did you end up confirming with any witnesses whether that was true, whether the appellant brandished his firearms or not?
Yes, so other officers went to the residence while I was with the appellant with his motor vehicle, and those witnesses said that he did not take out his firearms.
So you'd said earlier that you ended up finding a second handgun in the appellant's front pocket, right?
Yes.
Because he had reported to you that he had a second one on him at that
yes.
time. Did the appellant say to you why he had two firearms on him that night as opposed to just one?
He said he's from Bridgeport where there's a high risk of crime, so he just felt better carrying two.
What other evidence did yourself or the other Naugatuck officers gather during your investigation into this incident?
We spoke to witnesses at the home who confirmed that he was in fact involved in the fight.
Do you recall any other information coming out about the appellant's cousin and her role in the fight that night?
Yeah, so the cousin was highly intoxicated. She was at that party. There was a party at that residence. She left at around 2:30 a.m. Because she was so intoxicated. And then she returned at around 4:30, still highly intoxicated, acting belligerent, and pretty much engaging in fighting behavior.
What was your or the other Naugatuck officer's impression of the appellant's cousin when you encountered her on the scene that night?
She was interrupting the investigation. She was still intoxicated, which eventually led to her being arrested.
Okay. When officers interviewed witnesses to this fight, did any of them comment on what the appellant's involvement was, if any, in the fight?
Yes. So they said he punched three separate people two females and one male.
Do you know where he allegedly punched these individuals?
In the face.
Okay. And the appellant had told you that he was only trying to break up the fight?
Yes.
Okay. Did any of the witnesses report whether this appellant pulled out his gun at all, either of his guns during the fight?
They said he did not.
Did anything else about the appellant's alleged involvement in this fight come out during your investigation?
Pretty much that he started trying to mediate the situation, but once the fight broke out, then he got involved in fighting.
Okay. Did the Naugatuck officers discover any physical evidence of these alleged punches to the face on any of the three victims?
Yes, one of the males had a swollen lip.
So once you all learned this information about the alleged assaults, what happened to the appellant and his friends?
All three occupants of the vehicle were arrested.
Do you recall what the specific charges were against the appellant at that time?
Yes, it was three separate counts of assault, third, threatening in the first degree, and disorderly conduct.
Do you know what became of the appellant's two firearms that night?
They were seized.
Is there anything else we haven't touched on that you feel like the board should know about this incident?
When I conducted a follow-up about a week later, there was a second person involved that we never identified. The witness stated that when the appellant rang the doorbell or knocked on the door, that he lifted up his shirt, and she took that as kind of like a showing that he had a firearm. I was never able to get footage of that incident, so I wasn't able to add additional charges for that.
Was that, I'm sorry, the appellant you'd said that supposedly lifted his shirt while at the door of the residence?
Yes.
Okay. One other question I forgot to ask you earlier. Were there any witness identifications in the field that night? Were any witnesses asked to identify anyone involved in the fight that night?
Yes, so we did field identifications with the three witnesses. The ones that were punched. So we kept the occupants of the car at their motor vehicle, and other officers took the witnesses from the residence, drove them by, and they all identified the appellant as the one that struck them.
Officer Vasquez, anything else you think the board should know?
No.
Thank you. I have no further questions at this time.
Thank you, counsel. Sir, do you have any questions for the officer?
I don't have any questions, but I do appreciate him being 100% honest because everything he said is correct. I was 100%, you know, I'm not sure what the word, you know, I gave all orders. I was not, you know, resisting anything. I was 100% cooperative. That's the word I'm looking for. What he said is correct. My cousin was heavily intoxicated. She would not leave me alone.
All right, so we're going to get to your case in a moment.
Okay.
We're just going in order. So
okay, no.
I want to stay on task. So you don't have questions of him. Does the board have questions of the officer? No questions? I do. I think I saw, or maybe you said, there was a charge for threatening. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Do you know what led to that charge?
It was having the witnesses saw the firearm.
Oh,
and
okay.
They were saying he's gonna shoot. Someone in the party of one of the three people that were arrested, someone was saying shoot them. We don't know who it was. We don't know if they were speaking to the appellant or if they were speaking to this unidentified male who allegedly also had a firearm, and then threatening in the first, just is threatening in the second, including involving a firearm.
Gotcha. Okay, counsel, do you have any other witnesses?
No, ma'am.
Okay, sir, you may tell us what you'd like us to know.
Okay, so, you know, my cousin, she was overly intoxicated. She would not leave me alone. So this was her boyfriend's mother's house. They were having a Christmas Eve party. She was over there, got heavily intoxicated, and I don't know why she wanted her vehicle. So, you know, I spoke to her boyfriend, which, you know, I had no problems with. He was like, yeah, you know, I'm not giving her the car. She's heavily intoxicated. I was like, all right, just to calm her down, I'll come over there. I'll pick up the car. You know, hopefully she'll be okay. We get there, I'm talking to him, next thing you know, I look over, his girlfriend is fighting with his sister. So then, you know, I go over there to try to break it up. Now, this is a party that was going on. I start getting attacked, so it was more in self-defense. I never threatened to shoot anyone. They would have never known I had a pistol if during the tussle my shirt went up. I never knocked on the doorbell and showed any pistol. You know, that's pretty much, you know, it was just like act of self-defense. I went there to just try to get my cousin's car, and this just completely blew out of proportion. You know, as he said, when I exited the vehicle and I was walking past, he took the gun on my hip, and I right away said I have one in my pocket. You know, I didn't want any, you know, get misconstrued, and something happened to me at that time. I was 100% cooperative. I had two court dates. Both times they were reached out to. No one ever showed up to my court date. You know, I guess I did the anger management. I'm on probation, which is almost over. That's about it.
Okay. Counsel, do you have questions?
I do. Thank you. Mr. Appellant, do you remember filling out a questionnaire for this board all the way back in January 2021?
I do.
In that questionnaire, you said that you have, quote, an amazing head on your shoulders, right?
I do.
You also said you know how to conduct yourself in all manners while carrying, right?
I do.
So, do you think that it's reasonable to punch people in the face when you're carrying firearms?
I became attacked when I tried to break up the fight. It was a whole bunch of people against me, and I was attacked. So I acted in self-defense and defended myself, not with my firearm, with my hands. If I was at home at the time, which it was New Year's Eve, I was at my best friend's house, so I went with my best friend and my girlfriend. If I was home, I would have never taken my pistols. I wouldn't leave my pistols at anyone else's house except in my own house, in my safe, or on my person's.
So you punched three people in the face that night?
I was being attacked, yes.
So you said that you knew that your cousin was extremely intoxicated that night, right?
Yes.
Were you aware that she had problems with her children's father?
Yeah, they got into altercation.
But you thought that it would be fine to take her to pick up her car at 4:30 a.m. on Christmas morning?
I went to pick up the vehicle with my best friend.
And you brought your best friend in case there are any problems trying to get the car, right?
No, I brought my best friend to drive the car.
And you thought that it was going to be safe to bring your two guns with you?
Better on my persons than in someone else's house, yes.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Does the board have any questions?
Were you drinking at all?
No.
Was your friend drinking?
No.
Best friend who went with you?
No.
Did anyone else go with you?
Me, my best friend, and my girlfriend.
Was your girlfriend drinking?
She was.
Okay. Why'd you all three go?
We were just all together there, and we were hanging out, and I wasn't just going to leave my girlfriend in my best friend's house, and I took him to drive the vehicle back.
I think maybe you misspoke. You said it was New Year's Eve. You meant it was Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, sorry, yes.
You did say New Year's, so now I started thinking. Yeah,
no, I'm sorry.
Nights, and I'm
no, it was, well, pretty much at this time it was Christmas because it was 4 in the morning, it's so it was Christmas, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Another question? Sir, you said you did anger management.
Yes.
So you must be in a program.
Probation. Yeah, I'm on. I had to do anger management, and I'm 2 years of probation.
Do you know if it is called accelerated rehabilitation?
Yes, I use the AR. Yes, I've never been in trouble before, so that was offered to me.
The reason I was asking that is it's rare to see a. Accelerated rehabilitation granted with a felony. So the judge must have.
No, there was no felony.
I thought
it was
threatening.
I think there was misdemeanor charges.
Assault third and threatening.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought. Oh, my bad. No, I thought threatening.
Yeah, threatening first.
Threatening first is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no other questions? Do you have any other witnesses, sir?
I don't.
Okay, you may make a brief closing statement if you'd like.
as I said before, I went there trying to help my cousin, you know. I learned my lesson from it. I won't be doing anything like that again. You know, I would really love to be granted back my permit. You know, I have two hobbies, and that's fishing and target shooting. You know, I have a great head on my shoulders. I have an amazing job. And I would just like to continue to exercise my Second Amendment. And, you know, that's all.
Okay. Counsel, would you like to make a closing statement?
Please, thank you. This appellant has not yet been convicted of the statutory disqualifiers of felony threatening first, which is 53A, 61AA, or of the misdemeanor assault third, which is 53A, 61. He's due back in court on these charges and on a disorderly charge this summer. In this instance, three different witnesses reported seeing appellant punch two females in the face. The male who was also punched by the appellant had visible injuries around his mouth area that morning. This appellant brought two guns with him when he took his very intoxicated cousin to pick up her car at 4:30 in the morning. The appellant and his cousin allegedly banged on the front door of this residence to get the cousin's car keys back from her children's father. In the issuing authority's view, this appellant was facilitating a driving under the influence charge that night. This appellant also jumped into a physical fight that his cousin started. One has to assume that this appellant knew what his cousin was like when he agreed to help her get her car back, especially that night when she was obviously intoxicated. He knew that he was going into a potentially volatile domestic situation, and he at least should have been able to see what the other responding officers saw, which was that his cousin was intoxicated, belligerent, and she was ready to fight. This appellant told officers that it was his normal practice to carry two firearms on his person, and true to form, he had two firearms on him when he punched three different people in the face during a big fight with as many as 10 people involved. So the situation that the appellant's cousin created and that the appellant jumped right into was extremely dangerous in the issuing authority's view. Even though this appellant claims that he's learned his lesson and that he would not make these same choices if he had it to do over again, his conduct as of just over 2 years ago was demonstrably very poor. His judgment was very poor. Based on the conduct that this appellant admits to, he is not the type of person that the issuing authority believes should be entrusted with the responsibility of having a pistol permit at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Comments by the board?
I'll go ahead. Yeah, there were a lot of bad judgments made that night that ultimately led to this. And regardless, there are two pending disqualifiers right now that are not going to be decided until June, you know, 5 months from now. So I can't see issuing a permit with the pending charges. And I think it's similar to the previous case that if, correct me if I'm wrong, if he went to the window, he wouldn't get it anyway, right?
Yeah. Well, especially considering there's two disqualifiers in the mix. Yeah.
Probably part of his AR too. Conditions.
Yeah. And this is different than the other one in the sense that there was violence involved, and there's a whole lot more to this case. And in addition to the still pending charge.
Yeah. Other comments? Okay, seeing none. Dr. Conrad?
I appreciate the appellant's forthrightness in relaying the history of the event. But I feel it's too soon with charges pending and based on the date of the incident. So I'm going to uphold the issuing authority at this time.
Thank you. Attorney Iaconis.
Issuing authority.
Ms. Johnson.
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
Chair votes issuing authority. Thank you all.